You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 AM here on this Tuesday, February 20th, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. Joining me today is Wendy Onis from Riverview Health. And Wendy, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming back on. And well, February, it is Heart Month.
Yes, American Heart recognizes February as Heart Month, so they like to promote some of the health-saving things or healthy things that people can do during this month to help their heart health.
What are some of those things that people can do?
They can eat healthy is kind of one of the first one. Not to smoke or vape or be exposed to secondhand smoke. If you have high blood pressure, make sure that you're treating it. Moving every day. They say if you can do about 150 minutes in a week. So even if you aren't very stable, if you go to a grocery store, you have a cart you can hold on to and just make a few extra laps around the grocery store. Trying to watch your weight. And if you're diabetic, of course, controlling that sugar. Good night's rest is really big. Trying to get 7 to 9 hours at night, which I don't know if a lot of people do. Managing stress that you can do, and then regular checkups. And if you take medications, make sure that you're taking what the doctor prescribes.
Yeah, a lot of those things sometimes we take for granted.
Yes, definitely. We get busy with life, so.
Yeah, so sometimes it's nice to, you know, step away or, you know, put the phone down, you know, turn the TV off, and especially with weather like this where you're able to get outside and get that movement or, you know, and then when you're able to get that movement, that makes you tired and then you can sleep a little bit more. So it all kind of goes hand in hand in a sense.
Definitely, yep. And it's all, again, any little bit that you can do is better, even if you just start out small. Same with eating healthy, you know, just reduce the size of those unwanted, you know, sugars and things, you know, just kind of getting yourself on track.
And then talking about, you know, Heart Month and, you know, there's CPR and heart attack warning signs as well that are very important.
Yes. Yep. There's when we're doing our classes and things, it's good to know what we're looking for when someone is starting to have some trouble. Some of the common warning signs is pain or discomfort in the chest. When I'm talking about pain, it's not a sharp pain. It's usually a dull ache. Like if you've been painting all day and your muscles sore, that type of an ache. It's not, like I said, if it's a sharp pain, then we're looking at something else. Lightheadedness, not nausea or vomiting, having pain in the jaw, neck, or back. A lot of times people will have discomfort in one of their shoulders or their arm. They could become short of breath all of a sudden, or they could have cold sweats. And women don't show the signs and symptoms as well as men. So where a man might be just drenched in sweat, woman might be just lightly damp. Or just not feeling the symptoms as strong as others. But again, everybody is different, and everybody will show the signs and symptoms differently.
So that's those are some signs that for a heart attack, right?
Yes, yep, those are for heart attack. And usually those come on slowly. It's not a sudden thing that all of a sudden it hits you. It can take hours, days, or even weeks that people are starting to feel this. So if you're having some of these, we just recommend that you go in, get checked out. We always think of the worst first. So we think of the heart, and once it's ruled out that, okay, that's not what's going on, there's something else going on, you know, then we can take a little bit more caution and things. But that's the biggest thing with people having heart attacks is that denial. You know, if they're having that chest pain, or I just have heartburn because I ate something I shouldn't have, where, you know, it could be something more serious.
So especially when it's like a pain like that, that you might think is normal, you still want to have, I guess, a lot of caution.
Yes. Yeah. If it's something that's not normal in your life, because I know some people do have difficulty with heartburn and things, but if it's something that's not in your normal routine per se, it's something new, it's just to really keep an eye on that. Because the longer you wait, if it is your heart, then the more damage that could happen.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with some of the CPR things too that people can use.
Yep. Yeah, we have talked about our Heart Saver classes, and one of the things that I want to bring up today was the hands-only CPR. And that basically is a very basic CPR, and that's meant for anybody. And you don't have to take a class for it. Basically, if you have somebody that goes unresponsive, you see if you can wake them up. If you can't wake them up, you call 911, and then you start pushing on the center of the chest. About 100 to 120 beats per minute. So it is pretty quick. So it's almost two compressions in a second. But just pushing on that chest until help arrives is going to increase that person's chances of survival and just benefit that person so much more.
And obviously, there's been a lot of increased awareness about CPR over the last couple of years. And so it's really important that, people are well equipped with this because this could happen at any moment.
Exactly. As they found, only about 40% of people whose heart does stop outside of the hospital actually get help before rescue arrives. So if you can get yourself to just start pushing on that center of the chest, that's going to circulate whatever oxygen is left in the blood. And again, it's going to increase that person's chances. So when the ambulance gets there or police get there to assist, then they can take over and do the breaths and all the other things that are needed for that.
And how important is it to be able to just start with the hands-only CPR?
That is huge. I do know some people that actually they started breathing with compressions-only CPR being done, because within the first 1 to 2 minutes, they started breathing. And that's one thing, if you're doing that, if you're noticing coughing, moving, or breathing, that means that you stop and just see if you can see those breaths. And if you do, you just wait until rescue comes. But again, you're doing everything possible for that person. And the fear of the unknown is pretty tough. And this is one thing, again, if they're not breathing, call for help and then start pushing on the chest.
And with the, immediately doing these hands-only compressions, I'm assuming you're increasing the likelihood of this person surviving?
Correct. Yep. And you want to push hard and fast because basically you are creating a pulse for that person. So when you're pushing on the chest, you are circulating that blood. And again, if we just let them lay there, then they're not going to be doing very well because things will slowly start to deteriorate over time. And this just gives them that extra window of chance of survival. Because again, right now, we're looking at about 10% survival rate. And American Heart, we want to increase that. If they can get it to 12 or 15% and then just go from there, this is why we're pushing the awareness of this. Because the more people that can do this, even though they're not trained in CPR, it's going to help those people.
Well, and you had also mentioned, only 40% of the people, are able to help out in those moments. So if we're able to bump that number up, there's obviously that'll increase the likelihood of people being able to survive, especially if you're kind of out in a place where it's harder for an ambulance to get there. It takes a little bit of time.
Correct. Yeah. If you're farther out, eventually you will have to do a little bit more, but this still gives that person that chance. Because again, you don't know the situation, you don't know what's going on, and maybe just those few minutes of compressions could help them out. Anything is worth a try. So it's all beneficial. The hands only is only for adults and teens. It is not meant for kids or infants because children and infants need to have that breath. They usually have breathing problems, and that's why their heart stops. Where the adult, they have a higher chance of having heart issues. And that's why we're looking at doing the compressions only for just the older population.
So how can people learn more about the CPR?
There's a couple things that they can do with the hands-only CPR. There is a website that you can go to through American Heart, and it is heart.org/hands-only CPR. And there's a 90-second video that you can watch, and it shows everything that you need to know. It's nice and quick. The other option is that we do offer this training at Riverview. Right now, it's mostly some of our non-medical staff that has learned how to do the compressions-only CPR. And we do offer that for $5. But again, we ask for at least a group of five or more. I have had where I've gone into businesses and I've just set up in the break room. And as they're able to take short breaks, I teach them how to do the hands only. And if they want additional AED training, we can do that too. And they just go through the training so they know what it feels like to push on someone's chest if they would need to. And everybody gets trained in that office. So, and they feel a little bit better. So if somebody would come in and have issues, then they have something that they can do to help that person.
Very important life skill.
Definitely. Yep. And it, like I said, it's compressions only is still a wonderful thing that you could do for somebody.
And you had mentioned that the hands only CPR, mainly for teens and adults, is there like a certain age, at least around that teenage year, where you can really start to do that hands only compression?
They don't specify that. They just say teens. So if you're having a teenager that's collapsing and not breathing, then there's something going on. If you are seeing them and they're just fine, and all of a sudden, like with sports, we've heard of kids running down the court and collapsing, there's a high chance that could be a heart-related issue. And those are the instances, again, where those hands-only compressions work really well.
So a very valuable life lesson there in learning the hands-only CPR. And again, that kind of was going with what we were talking about earlier with some of those heart attack warning signs. And again, I think it's important to go over those warning signs once again, because there's a couple different signs that somebody could be having a heart attack. And as you had mentioned, this could be quite a long process.
Yes, definitely. Just to kind of go through those again, pain or discomfort in the chest, lightheadedness, nausea, or vomiting, jaw, neck, or back pain, discomfort or pain in the arm or shoulder, and shortness of breath. So, and again, they can be very sweaty too.
And when you talk about like the pain or discomfort in either both the chest or the arm or shoulder, is it more of a sharp pain? Is it a slow pain? Like what kind of pain are those people feeling?
It is more of an aching pain. Some describe it as a dull ache. Sometimes people also that are having chest discomfort, they might say that it feels like there's a really tight belt around their chest and it just feels like it's squeezing their chest, or there's something really heavy sitting on their chest. It's a heaviness. Again, it's not a sharp pain. It's more of a discomfort. But again, that heaviness or the tight belt feeling are pretty high on the list as far as those sensations go.
And where can people find more information just about heart attacks and heart attack symptoms and what they can do?
If you go to heart.org, you can find all those informations. They have information on heart attack. They have information on stroke. They have the hands-only CPR. And if you are recovering from a heart attack, they actually have information on that, on some of the things that you can do, again, to get yourself healthy and back, because it does take a little while to recover from such a situation. It's pretty tough on the body. And there's a lot of really good sites on there. They talk about all the healthy things that we should be doing, the cholesterol, the exercise, and they have a lot of information on any of those things. So if you ever have questions on those healthy sides of what we should do, that is all available on that heart.org site.
What are some things that people do when they recover from a heart attack?
It's more or less, it takes time for that body to recuperate, because as that heart was damaged, you have to limit your activity. Again, everybody's going to be a little different on what they are able to do and not able to do. And the physicians are very good to guide the people on that. And this site just gives you a little bit more information on what to expect. If you're questioning, well, this person had a heart attack, what is going to happen? This is kind of nice because it gives you a little bit of that foretelling of what's in the future, possibly for them. Again, everybody recovers differently. It depends on how much damage may have been done. And like I said, just trusting your physician on what you should be doing and the care that you need to be is really important.
And again, it is Heart Month here for the month of February. And Riverview Health, you guys don't just do heart stuff too. You guys have some first aid classes that go on throughout the year.
Yes, we do classes once every 3 months. And with that, we cover everything from medical situations to injuries to warm weather to cold weather, a little bit of everything. And it's a lot of information, but you do receive a book, so you can take that information home with you. And it's very basic care, so we're not overwhelming you with a lot of details, like if somebody's working on an ambulance or something like that. It's just, again, giving you that basic so you can start care until help arrives. And it's nice to just have that knowledge. Again, like I said before, the fear of the unknown is kind of tough when someone is hurt or not doing well. Not being able to help is tough too. And this just helps with that portion.
So how often do these classes take place?
We have the first aid classes once every 3 months, and that is just so, again, we can get enough people in the course to do the class. If we would have more interest in the class and our class sizes would increase, then the consistency or the how frequently we would have the classes would also increase.
And then there's also CPR classes too, and you guys talk about the defibrillator as well during those classes?
Yes, the CPR classes we have every month, and with that one, you learn adult, child, and infant CPR, and you learn how to use the AED on the adult and the child, and you learn how to actually put it on, turning it on, how it works, what you should do when it's already applied, so all of that is included. It even talks about some special situations that you need to do if you're using the AED. But again, AED is very simple to use. Basically, you turn it on and you follow the directions, and it does tell you everything that's needed.
And with that increased awareness of CPR, we're seeing a lot of AEDs kind of pop up all over the place. So it's starting to become even hard to go around to a place where there isn't one around.
Yep, which is so nice to see. Like at the schools, they're usually by a gym. A lot of businesses are starting to have them. If you go to the mall, most malls have them. So if you just kind of keep your eyes out, you'll see them up on a wall at some point. And it's just a wonderful thing to have because, again, time is important with using the AED. The faster we can get someone that AED and get them shocked, again, we increase their chances even more. So all of these things, the compressions, the breaths, the AEDs, they all work together to help improve that person's chance of survival.
And again, when is the next class for that class?
The CPR is March 14th. So, and those are always at 6 p.m. at night. And again, remember that that does include our family and friends. So if you're just wanting to go and learn, you do not need a card. You can join the class as a family and friends member, which is sponsored by the American Legion in town here, which is wonderful of them to be doing that for us and for our community. And you basically, when you're a family and friends member, you just do what you're able. So if you don't feel you can do all the practicing, you can just say, no, I've had enough. I need a little break. And that's just fine because that's our purpose, is just to give you that knowledge of what to do so you can help others or guide someone if you needed to do that.
Well, Wendy, do you have any final thoughts here before we wrap up our Valley Talk program?
If you're always considering doing these, maybe finally taking that step. And just taking, you know, the initiative to try to do it, or looking on to the American Heart website and looking up that hands-only CPR, because that will give you that first step to let you know, okay, this is what we need to do. And that is just huge if you can help someone and start doing those compressions if they need it.
Well, Wendy, thank you very much for joining us once again on today's Valley Talk program. Very informative, as always.
Thank you so much.
So that was Wendy Onis from Riverview Health talking about CPR, heart attack warning signs, and some of the classes that are coming up at Riverview Health for both first aid and CPR with an AED here on today's Valley Talk program.